Now, last week I talked about this is the time to really pray to God and ask for some bigger things than we've been asking for in the past. God is wanting to bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. But we have to come to the point of desiring it, expecting it, believing it. It's not always an easy thing because we go so much by our senses, by what we see with our natural eyes rather than what we see with our spiritual eyes. And what we hear God saying to us about what He wants to do or what His will is. And everything I talked about last week, I solemnly believe, and we need to do that. But there is another side to that coin, so to speak. There are times when, as we all know, it's God's timing, and how He wants to bless, what He wants to do. It's all in keeping with His will and His plan. So when we pray expectantly, we will get answers. But it's not always going to be the answer that we expect. It's not always going to be immediate. Sometimes we have to wait. And that's the hard part. It's not that God is reluctant to do the things that we ask or to give us the blessings that we ask for. Because He's not reluctant. He wants to bless His children. He loves us. But again, it's His plan and His timing, and we have to understand that and accept that. So sometimes we have to wait. But there are reasons for that. Ever since Mary and I went to see that movie, His Only Son, which had to do with Abraham and Isaac, every once in a while I've been thinking about that. I don't know how many of you might have seen that movie, but Abraham, for many years, had been childless, but yet he was promised that he would be the father of many nations. And that's what I want to start out with. So the first scripture here is from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, that was his name originally, until God changed it, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation." So here's the promise. At this time, he's childless. But God says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. 75 years old. Lord says, leave your family. Just go to where I'm going to take you. I'm going to show you where to go. So Abram believed God, and he left. He's 75 years old. Still childless, but God promises to make him the father of many nations. Of course, you might say, well, 75 years old, how many people do we know that have children at 75 years old? Of course, things were a little different back then, and many of them lived longer. But in any event, that was verses 1 to 4. Then we skip to verse 7. It says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." So here's God again promising to him, you're going to have descendants. And he's 75 years old. Now I'm sure that after this, he and his wife tried to have children. It was only natural. He had wanted children. His wife had wanted children. They had been trying for years. But according to scripture, she was barren. Okay, so he's 75 years old and he leaves. Okay. Now we skip to Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he left Haran at 75. Now, found his way to the land of Canaan where God led him, and he's living there for 10 years. Still no children. No children. Now, his wife says to him, "Well, maybe I'm not the one that's supposed to bear the children. Maybe you should take my maid as your wife and have children by her. Because after all, God promised him that he would have descendants." He didn't say anything to Sarai, his wife, or anything about her. And this is where we get into trouble sometimes. There's a scripture that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Sarai obviously was leaning on her own understanding. And we know what problems came from that. Because indeed, Sarai's maid did have a child by Abram, which turned out to be the Arab nations, who are in constant war with Israel. That's the trouble that all got started by this, all because they wanted to help God. You can't help God. He doesn't need any help. That was one of the things in the devotion that Candy was talking about. God does it all. It's up to us to hear him, to do what he wants, to wait. Let him bless us. Sarai couldn't wait. I don't know what Sarai's maid looked like. Maybe she was an attractive young woman. Maybe Abram said, who knows? But in any event, he agreed. It was bad enough that she came up with this idea, but then she convinced him, and that's where all the trouble started. So, 10 years, Abram marries his wife's maid, and she has a child. Okay, let's go to the... Oh, you got it up already. Okay. Next chapter, chapter 17. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." And then we skip to verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child?" Now, I'm sure he didn't laugh in doubt or unbelief, but he probably chuckled. "Ooh. Am I going to bear a son at 100 years old?" I wonder how many of us often wondered at that, you know? Here he's 75 when he left after God's calling him out from his family. God made the promise to him. And then he had to wait and wait and wait. Then they make a mistake. He marries Sarai's maid, has a son. Still, Sarai, no child. So it's almost 25 years when Abraham is 99 that God appears to him. Abraham, guess what? You're going to have a son by Sarah. Wow. God is a promise keeper. He's also a miracle worker. Abraham knew that his body was as good as dead as far as fathering children. Sarah's body was in the same state. How many people do we know bear children at 99 or 100? Doesn't happen, does it? But you can't tell that to God. You can't tell him it's impossible. But, you know, I often thought about that. Why tell him when he's 75 and make this promise and then cause him to wait 25 years, or almost 25 years, before the promise comes to be? You ever think about that? Well, there are reasons for it. When Abram was 75, it was possible for him to bear children. Okay? So he probably thought, oh, no big deal. God's promising me a child. Sure. So he and Sarah try. Nothing. Nothing. So he has to wait 25 years. In the meantime, what is that, or what should have happened with Abraham and Sarah? Hopefully, their faith should increase somewhat. Be patient. Wait on God. He made the promise. If he got Abram to the land of Canaan where he had made that promise to him, I'll take you and bring you to a land that I will show you. He did that. Why should it be impossible for God to give him a child when he's older? Sometimes we have to wait for things that God has promised us. God wants us to learn to have patience. God wants us to learn how to trust him, that he is faithful in his promises, even though it seems like a long, long time, a long, drawn-out affair, you know? And we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And part of it is a test. Unfortunately, Sarah and Abram failed the initial test because they wanted to help God. Well, maybe you need to marry somebody else, Abram, and have a child by this other woman. Well, no. God's original plan was Abram and Sarah. Sometimes it's a test for us. Are we going to believe God? Are we going to trust him for the promises that he made? Are we going to be patient and wait on him, even though it may take years and years and years? That's one of the big questions. But, you know, sometimes we have to go through this waiting period. And the desired result from God's standpoint is that we grow in our trust and our faith in him, knowing who he is, that if he made a promise, it's going to happen. Even though it may seem impossible. And I'm sure that it seemed impossible to Abraham and Sarah. When he's 99, or just almost 100, she's 10 years younger, actually, than he is, so she was around 90. That really takes a miracle, doesn't it? But God is in the business of working miracles, especially to those who will hang on to him and his promises, will trust him, believe him, and these things will come to pass. This is from Isaiah chapter 40. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Boy, I'll say that's true for Abraham and Sarah. Right? He gave power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To me, that's kind of a picture of Abraham and Sarah. He gave strength to them, gave them power. And even at such advanced ages, they were forced to wait on the Lord. They didn't have any choice, really, even though they tried this other way, which didn't work out too well. And I'm sure that when they found out that Sarah was pregnant and ultimately had the child, they felt like they mounted up with wings like eagles. They were probably so joyful, you know, soaring. Wow, this is so great, wonderful. God kept his promise. He worked a miracle. And that's only one example of how God keeps his promises and how he works miracles. We see in the Bible story after story after story of how God worked miracles. Is he any different today? No. He's no different today. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to go by our natural senses, what we see, what we feel. We let our emotions govern us. And consequently, a lot of times we just don't believe that God is going to do anything. Then he surprises us with something. He wants to continue to surprise us. He's no different. He hasn't changed. Scripture tells us. He doesn't change. We're the ones that have to change. But he doesn't. He still keeps his promises. He still works his miracles. But it's up to us to believe him, to trust him, to wait on him. God wants to do wondrous things here. I know you look around, you say, well, gee, these pews are hardly filled. So what? Does that mean God can't do anything? Does that mean that he won't do anything? Well, God could fill this place tomorrow if he wanted to. And maybe he does, and maybe he will. But maybe he's just waiting on us to say, okay, Lord, I believe you. I'm going to trust you. I don't know exactly what you're going to do, but I'm going to keep my ears open to hear what you might be saying to me or to us. And I'm going to try and look with my spiritual eyes rather than my physical eyes, because I want to begin to see what's possible rather than what is. I want to see what's possible in you, Lord. The things that you want to do. Before all of this was, before this universe was created, God saw with his spiritual eyes what was going to be, what he wanted to be. And all he had to do was speak it, and it became real. Why should it be any different now? I believe that he wants to give us glimpses of what is possible, what he wants to do, so we can say, yes, Lord, I hear you, I believe you, and I'm going to wait on you, because I want to mount up with wings like eagles, just like Abraham and Sarah did. So while it is time to pray to him and expect greater things, we may have to wait. But that should not nullify any of his promises, any of our expectations, any of our faith, any of our believing. It could be our own little test. Are we going to be patient and wait on him and trust him, knowing that he is a miracle worker and a promise keeper? He doesn't change. He's still the same. And he's looking for people to bless. Remember the scripture from last week? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's all he's looking for, people whose heart is loyal to him. And like I said last week, we should be jumping up, Lord, here we are, here we are. Our hearts are loyal to you. We serve you. Show yourself strong on our behalf. We expect it. We're waiting for it, even if it takes a little while. That's the way we should be. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, it's not easy to wait. It's not easy, and I'm sure that if we were in Abram's place and Sarai's place, we might feel the same way. It's not going to happen. I'm too old. Can't be. But God proved them wrong. And he can certainly prove us wrong too, if we take the same attitude. But help us, Lord, to have believing hearts, to be positive, to be expectant, knowing what kind of a God we serve. You are so wonderful, Lord. And you desire to bless your children. Well, here we are, Lord. We ask you to bless us. But help us, Lord, in our faith, in our expectation, to believe and to trust you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We do indeed expect big things in the days ahead. How many days, we don't know. But we look to you, Lord, knowing how much you love us, knowing how much you care for us, knowing how much you have done for us in the past. And you will continue to bless us and work in us and with us and through us. And Lord, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.